they needed. It's so funny when people complain, oh, where was everyone before? This is, you know, and even I just said this probably would not be on the top five Donald Sterling transgressions list. But because it's public, it's tangible,
mm-hmm.
and a public outcry, they finally had. You can't just say, because it is a slippery slope.
Right.
You can't just start getting rid of people because you don't like them.
Right.
Now, a lot of that stuff was public record with the housing.
It was.
And some of the comments. But they were parts of ongoing cases where he was not found guilty. He was settling out of court. And they may not have had the impetus to get rid of him.
But how did I know about it and nobody that's ever played for him ever knew about it?
Well, I think they did. I think they just liked the, you know.
They've talked to a couple players and been like, oh, I didn't know anything about this guy. So I've heard
Well,
that.
I mean, some of them were younger.
Okay. I mean, I guess some I'm not people, quite sure where that's an excuse. I mean, by my early 20s, I knew about who I was working for and what their deal was.
I don't know.
Was.
Maybe some people just don't. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the one thing, too.
And you're right. I would find it surprising. I knew about, it's funny, Bamani Jones, mm-hmm. who gave this great rant to the whole situation. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he did.
No, it was fantastic. If you listen, it was fantastic. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if it was what it was. It was not Spike Lee.
What was the over-under on hate Whitey rhetoric?
It wasn't like that at all.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like that. See, there you go, jumping. I thought it was fantastic, and you should listen.
Anyway. Okay. I've just seen him slur somebody very close to my heart on a previous occasion,
So now look what you did. You made me forget what I was going to say because I defended Bomani. Where was I saying before?
That's how effective my trolling is. You don't remember the Bomani Jones's point? Well, while you're thinking of it, let me bring this up to you because I brought up a point. I tweeted at Doc Rivers this past weekend on Twitter.
Oh, when, I thought, let me just shout this out.
Okay,
because it came to me. Bomani Jones, because I knew about the Donald Sterling. It's not like just this week I learned that Donald Sterling was somewhere. I read about it at the time.
Yeah.
Bomani Jones had written something 9 years ago about Donald Sterling.
Right.
And I guess ESPN.com reposted it the last couple days.
Okay.
It got more views in the last couple days than it had in the previous 9 years.
I'm sure. Yeah, because it's a fresh topic. It's in the headlines.
But that's what I'm saying is people, here was this piece that he did.
Right.
He wrote about it.
Right.
It's tangible for you. And people didn't care at the time.
They
didn't raise a stink.
Right.
Some people did.
Right.
But not to the degree that this taped conversation raised the conversation.
Here's the thing, too.
Which is interesting.
And
but
I think there's a fair amount of hypocrisy from some people in this. And I had tweeted at Doc Rivers about this because I was a little bit disturbed by his hypocrisy. When I saw this past weekend that he was quoted as saying that he wasn't really surprised about this. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And this is what I tweeted at him, basically. You must have a lot of self-respect. So you knowingly went to work for a guy.
Bill Simmons? You're tweeting disparaging things at Doc Rivers?
I was very disturbed by that. What kind of person with any kind of self-respect knowingly goes to work for an old racist white guy that you know hates black people? If this wasn't a surprise to you, then why are you working for him, Kyle? That's what I want to know from Doc Rivers.
I know.
You don't get to play that card. You don't get to play the card of, can't see I'm surprised.
I think it's fine. I think you could separate the two.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Really?
I think it's unfair.
Would you go to work for any black guy that you knew hated white people? I wouldn't.
I might. I have no principles, though. Here's the thing. Doc Rivers is an NBA coach.
I just don't know where...
Rivers is an NBA coach, right?
Yeah.
There's 30 jobs in the world.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good one as far as the talent on the court. It's one of the top five or six.
Yes.
So...
I mean, if you don't... I cannot imagine that Doc Rivers' employment with the LA Clippers included... many brunches with Donald Sterling. I mean, and here's the thing with Donald Sterling.
So as long
there's hypocrisy. Donald Sterling's just as hypocritical. If he feels that way about the African-American community, why is he hiring them?
And that's true, too. There's a lot of hypocrisy. Why should he be in the business if he hates black people? Now, the answer in a weird, twisted, psychological way is, and I guess the tapes are revealing this, he still has the plantation mentality that he is dispensing the houses and cars and whatever to the folks who are working for him.
Which is so embarrassing.
It really is.
It's really embarrassing.
It is.
Like, oh, look what I... Like, he's like... It's the old, I take care of my kids argument.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're doing something that 29 other people would do.
Yes, yes.
It's like, who else would do this? I don't know every other NBA general manager.
He feels that he owns them, and that's where he's kind of getting off on.
Aren't I so nice for paying Blake Griffin? No, that's market. You're giving the man market value.
Well, and not only that, it just, if you're an old racist white guy owning a team, and you think you're getting over by paying eight figures to your top players, you know, I don't understand that part. But again, I don't understand from Doc Rivers. I don't think anybody could possibly have any self-respect if they knowingly worked for somebody who hated them because of the color of their skin.
I think
in that situation, say, look, man, I didn't know about this stuff, whatever, even though it was out there. It's better to say I didn't know about this.
It may not have affected him. Doc Rivers, by all accounts, I'm I don't know. I'm not Doc Rivers.
It doesn't affect your self-esteem to work for somebody that you know hates you because of the color of your skin? It doesn't make you feel like less of a man?
It might. It probably does. I mean, I can't, here's the, I always say that marriage, I can't. That's something that I can't put
and
myself
I understand
in.
That,
I can't.
You know, unlike me, how, you know, how does he go to sleep at night? On a bed of money. Okay, I get that. But, I mean, you're selling your everything. You're selling your self-respect to knowingly work for a man like that.
He may that's be able to
look.
Separate.
To admit that you knew that's who the man was is not a good look.
I think that you might be able to, and I don't know. Again, I can't speak to what his mindset was. And keep in mind, he's been there for what, not even a year now?
Right.
Okay, so I mean, it's relatively a short, you don't know. Maybe he hated, maybe he has hated Donald Sterling this whole time. You know, I don't know how many conversations they have. It doesn't sound like many. Because the story goes, hey, after it came out, what he said, hey, Doc, do you want to talk to Donald Sterling? He obviously felt comfortable enough that he didn't even need to, you know, broach it. The players felt comfortable enough to protest. Like, you know, there's some people disappointed with the players that they didn't protest the game. I think that's I think that would have been unfair to themselves.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? I mean, they're playing for each other
as
much as
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that I see where you're coming from, that you're right. We've all worked for people.
Well,
I don't want to. But I mean, you know what I'm saying.
You know what?
There are all people you work. You're like, oh, this guy. You know. I mean, I think most people, like, it goes back to the old rich white guy syndrome.
Yeah.
You look at some of these people you work for through the years. You're like, God, I don't.
Well,
I would never be friends with that guy. But it's tough to take that moral high ground. I mean, look, Doc Rivers probably could get hired by any NBA team.
And that's the thing, too. He could have his pick of most jobs. So when you say there's only 30 jobs in the world, he's not Randy Whitman.
No.
He's Doc Rivers, who's got an NBA championship.
Well, Randy Whitman may advance past Tom Thibodeau.
Yes.
Thank you very much. But, by the way, it's too bad about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make an NBA take here, because we don't do enough NBA.
And
I love the NBA playoffs so far.
They've been very good.
They've been fantastic. Anyone who thinks, you know, that the NBA has suffered since, say, the Seattle Sonics relocated just has their head up you know where.
Well, but, you know what? I tell you what. You said something about that.
But this
about
is a great job, was my point with Rivers.
Right.
He wanted this job because for personal achievement. If, yes, in a crazy world, you know, yes, the man paying him is a race. And he probably knew that coming in. I can't imagine. Doc Rivers is sure.
I'm just saying it's not a good look if he did and if he admits that he did.
But isn't, you know, Charles Barkley said this, no one wins for the owner. To me, I mean, I always say, like, as someone who doesn't like the home team in any sport and never has and is kind of perplexed by people are so beholden that mindset still in the year 2014, I don't begrudge you if you do. I just say the claim of people that don't. In this era, internet, 24 hours, every team on TV, I just don't see the need. Like, I understand if it's the 50s and you can only follow one team, but not anymore.
I'm perplexed that you equate rooting for the team in the area that you grew up in and live in with the horse and buggy. That's an interesting analogy to me. I've never heard it made before.
Oh, I do. Like, to me, I think people who don't understand, I always say this to people who say, what, how can you not root for the home team? That's our team. I'm like, do you get numbers out of the phone book still, too? Are you still getting your box scores from the paper?
It depends. I mean, maybe you weren't socialized in it growing up, but I mean, for those of us that did, and you know, like our family was into the team.
I was, you know, like for me, I'm kind of teetering generationally.
Okay.
I think moving forward,
yeah,
I think it's going to happen less and less. You see that with people younger than us.
Uh-huh.
I think the whole root for the home team is becoming a mindset of the past.
Yeah.
It'll always be there.
Right.
But I don't view, but to bring it back to this, these players, you know, and the people of L.A., and that's not, you know, L.A.'s not like Cleveland, so I don't think the people of L.A. would be hurt by this, and they even understand it. I don't even think, like, when Blake Griffin Blake Griffin is not trying to win an NBA title for the city of L.A. He might say it to fire a crowd up at a pep rally or whatever.
Right.
But he isn't. He's not even trying. He probably isn't even trying to win it for Doc Rivers.
Right.
He's trying to win it for him. It's all about a brand, and Doc Rivers was just trying to win it for him. He wasn't trying to win it for his boss. You know, it would have been interesting, and we'll never know. Let's say the Clippers would have won the NBA title this year and this wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Would Doc Rivers have embraced Donald Sterling on the court?
No.
I don't think he would have.
No.
I mean, it'd be one thing if, you know, he was like hugging the guy and, hey, Don's my guy. I don't think it was like that. I think it was and maybe.
I just don't think you can have it both ways. I just think you either have your self-respect.
You can't, you're saying.
And you don't knowingly go to work for somebody
who
hates you.
So you're saying you have a problem because he took the money and wants to criticize him too.
Yeah.
Have a cake and eat it too.
Kinda,
I don't. I kind of admire it, to be honest with you. hey, you're paying me. You're a racist asshole.
I actually
like Doc Rivers more than I did 5 minutes ago.
I will tell you this, though. I mean, and there's I'm going to make this point in the classiest and most oblique way that I possibly can, and there are limits to how classy I can make this point, and for anybody that's followed us for a long time, they're going to know what I'm talking about. But as far as when you and I got to be friends, a lot of other folks that we know got to be friends with one another and work with one another, I would get questioned a lot of times by people who, you know, friends and family and everything like that, of why I worked on so many shows other than my own, put in, you know, guest appearances, did stuff, helped my friends with stuff at said institution. And I always said, it's not about the individual that you're speaking of. It's about my friends. It's about, it's all of them there. It's, I don't view it as I'm doing this for such and such person that runs the place.
Yeah, it goes back to that. We all have bosses we don't like.
I Sunday Night Submission, as far as like being the fifth Beatle. That was the time of my life. That was just about my favorite show there. I loved it. I loved doing stuff. I would do stuff with some of the guys on the daytime shows when I would be on vacation, because I would just be kind of in the office working on stuff anyways. Come out and make appearances and hang out. And I loved doing stuff, working with, being a part of things with them there. And it's hard because, again, when you get to like, it's the same things like with Donald Sterling. People, I agree with that. People will focus on ownership and think you're doing this for ownership, when sometimes ownership is the last part of this that you're actually exerting yourself on behalf of. I hope I did that in as classy a way as humanly possible.
I'll say this. Anytime I went on a show,
yeah,
I did it for me.
Yeah. Well, even that.
That's what I'm saying. We're actually kind of saying the same thing.
But not unselfishly on behalf of ownership. Yeah. That's what we're saying. I almost never did anything at said place unselfishly on behalf of ownership. It was either for myself or for my friends. And that's, again, people don't always understand that. So, but you and I have kind of lived this experience in a way that the players are dealing with. And that's where I'm kind of sympathetic to it, because it's about your team, it's about your bros, and
the players are probably doing it. You know, the players want to win for each other, probably. Yeah, but it's still always going to be about yourself.
And the notion that you would have boycotted the game,
yeah, that
or
was
whatever.
Silly. You know, Mark Jackson said the fans. Of course, he doesn't want the fans there. It's a road game. I thought that was a little self-serving, Mark. Come on, Mark. I don't even think one of your canned Rudy speeches would have got the crowd to leave there.
Yeah,
so anyway. To bring it full circle, who you got number one in the draft?
I'm going to say Jadeveon Clowney still. I mean,
are we done with Sterling?
He's the slam dunk Hall of Fame guy if he stays healthy.
Now let's do what ESPN tells us to do and talk football. But no, I do too. I mean, it's obviously that was a wild, hard turn, but I like doing
that
hard turns.
Sure.
I do too. It's obviously a question of, again, value over need in the NFL. I mean, we talked about Houston in our division-by-division previews as a team that's likely to improve by a lot. I think I kind of went through some numbers that showed over the last 3 or 4 years, whatever it's been, the team that's picked first has been the most improved team every year of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, I think, is going to follow that trend. To what degree, I think it won't be as much as we saw from Kansas City and Indianapolis the last 2 years, but it'll probably be more of than Carolina did in Newton's rookie year. I'll say this, though. If Houston does pick Jadeveon Clowney, it's really hard. Unless if they seriously address the QB situation in round two as somebody that matters, it's going to be tough for me to pick them to go back to the playoffs with a quarterback situation that is Ryan Fitzhipster, your boy Case Keenum, and one of these rookies that's not Bortles, Johnny Football, David Carr, Teddy Bridgewater.
How about Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy that all the guys in jeggings and hipster glasses these days are all over him. I think
he's going to the Jaguars. They like him a lot. Yeah. I've heard. He's around two.
For Houston, they may want to seriously look at overpaying to get Kirk Cousins in there as well.
Yeah,
I heard
some rumors about the Browns. Shanahan.
That could happen. You know, the thing with Clowney is people talk about this. Him on one side and J.J. Watt on the other side. And I'm thinking to myself, beyond that, it's a matter of picture a scenario where Brian Cushing is your third best pass rushing threat. I mean, that kind of tells you all you need to know right there. Think about that.
Yeah, no, and again, it's all about value over need. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I was trying to look something up here. I think it's quoting me gets dragged.
Looks like an old school cassette you're holding there.
It is. It's my phone. The whole thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Kind of cool. You like that?
That is,
a lot
yes.
of compliments on
that's
here.
A nice decorative thing, yes.
All right, hold on here. One second. There's a great quote I'm going to steal from someone and not give them credit.
I was wondering how you were pulling this up on an AC/DC audio.
Yes. All right, here we go. Here's the thing with quarterbacks. If you miss on a high draft pick that's a quarterback, sets your franchise back 3 years. You're trying to win anything. That's the catch-22 of the NFL draft. And so thing with Houston is, you know, Clowney clearly is better than any of the quarterbacks available.
Yeah.
But their ceiling is going to be limited by the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Schaub, I was never a huge fan of, but at his peak was better than anything that Houston certainly has
darn
right now.
Good. Yeah.
And may have coming out of this draft.
I think we've talked about this before. In fairness, in retrospect, that injury that he had to his foot or leg or that killed him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's never been the same guy mm-hmm. since. You look at him at the beginning of last year, and he was not the same quarterback.
Yeah, I think he had a ceiling to him.
But
Houston, yeah. It's funny that how short their window ended up being in the AFC South. I read something that there's been, I think, 13 years that we are under the current alignment,
mm-hmm.
the eight divisions, four teams.
Mm-hmm.
2002 is when they did it. But I think we're 13 seasons in.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts have made the playoffs in 12 of those years. The only year they didn't was the year between Manning and Luck.
Wow.
And they've won the division 11 times.
Well, when we're saying about the era of the Texans being done.
But it seemed
it
like they were this
where,
team.
Where they're taking a knee for a year, and they may very well be
I don't know.
Next year.
To me, with Andrew Luck, it's the Colts division to lose. As much as
I
think they've overperformed expectations his first 2 years, I think.
But they won't win the division every year.
No, they won't every year, but I think that as long as Andrew Luck's there, he's going to win more division titles than he doesn't.
Sure.
And Houston, who had this feeling like a couple years ago, particularly, and again, it was the year that, no, it wasn't actually, it was Luck's rookie year that they were at their best. And you kind of had this feeling, okay, Houston's this franchise on the rise. They're going to be an AFC contender for years to come. And I really don't know if that's going to happen.
Still might be in a bad conference. Again, what's
best case scenario, I think they're an 8-win team next year. I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
They'll be on the AFC's so bad that they could make the playoffs again, but
and
I think it would speak more to how poor the AFC is.
Oh, sure. You know, but again, I mean, if Indy gets their 1 year overdue regression this year, 8 wins may be enough to take it.
It could be, but I think Indy can only, you know, I learned my lesson last year.
Uh-huh.
I think the Colts can only regress so much. This is a team that has outperformed its Pythagorean win expectation
mm-hmm.
by a combined six wins the last 2 years. So they're due to start winning fewer games.
They are.
But I honestly can't see them doing worse than 9 the next couple of years. That division's
okay.
bad. I mean, Jacksonville, you know, Jacksonville's a team, you know, a lot of people I think are going to be surprised when they pass on a quarterback at number 3. But you can't throw a quarterback. If you're going to stink, just stink.
Yeah, but I mean,
is Blake Bortles going to lead Jacksonville to the playoffs this year?
Blake Bortles, before silly season, was a consensus top 5 pick. And now it's a thing of where.
Yeah, Blake Bortles, before silly season, no one knew who the hell he was.
Oh.
I my stock watch on Blake Bortles too high right now, whereas Bridgewater too
Still
low.
Still too high? Yeah, I agree with you on Bridgewater too low. And because here,
no, I think it's evening out. So Bortles, to me, when people were banning him up the number 1 pick,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting there being like, what are we doing?
Right.
Blake Bortles is going to be number 1 pick all of a sudden? Before his bowl game, no one cared.
Well, I mean, he had a
and
really
And all he
good
did
year.
Was throw against a disinterested Baylor secondary that no-showed the game.
Well, that's true. As far as it goes with Bridgewater, and this is the point that I make to people because, again, and I have very good friends, and even in the media alliance, Ken Bex and Tom Denk, a couple of fellows that have really picked him apart. But, again, I agree. I don't think he's completely exceptional in any one area, but I think he's really above average in a lot of different areas. Here's how I look at it, because everyone wants to go to the whole card of, you know, Brady, Manning, Rodgers. Well, I'll tell you what. I can fill one hand. I can name 5 Super Bowls won by quarterbacks who are next level down. 2 from Eli Manning, 1 from Joe Flacco, 1 from Ben Roethlisberger. They are not with the immortals that I was talking about here a second ago. They're on the next level. Can Teddy Bridgewater be as good as those guys?
Yeah,
I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah, only if. Why did those guys win? First of all, like in the case
of
Flacco,
yeah.
he was hot at the time he heated up, but he still had a lot of weapons around him.
Torrey Smith finally turned the corner to be on number 1.
That's why Blake Bortles is not going to carry the Jacksonville Jaguars to a playoff berth.
But picture
Andrew Luck. See, when people say, because I hear some people, Randy trolling your boy, saying, oh, you can't use the Luck Manning argument, otherwise you disqualify 95% of the quarterbacks. Well, those are the guys who can carry inferior teams. We always talk about with New England,
right.
And I think Green Bay with
right.
Aaron Rodgers fits in this, that those are cases where you're having a superior quarterback carrying an inferior roster.
Right.
That's not really the norm right now. It certainly wasn't with your defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks.
Although, again, I tend to put Russell Wilson in with because I think he is a Brady/Manning/whatever
Ooh,
in the make.
Wow.
I think he's going to be at that level.
But not yet.
I think he's at the end of his career, if he stays healthy, I think it's more likely we talk about him with them than Eli Flacco and Roethlisberger. That's of being a guy who can elevate a team. You're right, he's not there yet at that point. Although, again, when you look at the wide receiving core, we do have to give him credit. He made them look better than they were. They're very
unsensational. No, he's very good. You have to be good, but in only the top. Here's a group. I know a group you like, the top 2%. going back to Donald Sterling, only those guys can carry your inferior rosters. That's why with like the Browns, I don't think should the Browns go quarterback? I don't think they should.
Here's the thing, though.
At number four, 26, they should go quarterback, not number four, because if you have a substandard roster, no quarterback save for the Luck Manning. Tier is going to elevate you to where you want to be.
I'm not opposed to Bortles at four. I'm not.
I kind of am.
Here's what I'd rather, though. What I'd rather is Watkins at four, and I don't wait for Bridgewater at 26 because it only takes
I think he's
going to
fall there. I think he'll fall there.
In the late teens, I would trade up. Because here's the thing. When we're talking about that Eli, Flacco, Roethlisberger winning Super Bowls. Okay, if you're giving Teddy Bridgewater, Josh Gordon, probably the best receiver in the league not named Megatron right now, and Sammy Watkins, and Jordan Cameron, poor man's Jimmy Graham. I mean, can you really say that you're much better suited than that? Ben Tate at running back, who is... I don't
like trading up. Unless if it's for a specific... I mean, I guess that is a specific
picks,
need.
They have a lot of picks.
I don't overdo it, though.
No.
I really think you can get Bridgewater at 26.
Well, if you get Bridgewater and... I mean, I said it's...
The Browns dream...
I will run down the street naked if they get Bridgewater and
I told this to noted Cleveland Browns honk Nick Flasher, my good friend, and maybe someday yours.
Okay.
But the Browns dream draft scenario is this. Watkins at four.
Mm-hmm.
Bridgewater 26.
Yeah.
Cornerback early second round.
That'd be awesome.
That would be hitting the lottery.
Yeah. That would be tremendous.
That would be hitting the lottery.
What
do you think St. Louis is doing at number two? But like I said, I think that's so important.
Everybody wants to know.
Assume they don't trade down.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, because I think a lot of the dance partners, you know, originally there was that thing when people were thinking Houston was going to take a quarterback, a lot of people linked them in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta would trade up then to get Clowney, and St. Louis would just move back to take one of the tackles. There's a chance if St. Louis trades far back enough, they could lose out on a lot of their top prospects. I think they stay at number two.
I think they probably do also.
And I'm not
sure
which way they go, though.
If
I'm them, I would take Sammy Watkins at number two.
See, here's the thing, though. I think it'll be Greg Robinson. I'll tell you why it won't be Watkins in my estimation. Because it probably should be, but here's why it won't be is my guess. Because of the politics of admitting that what I said at the time last year, that Tavon Austin was a horrific reach. He's not an every down impact player.
I have debated Tavon Austin,
Never will be.
Especially with that unimaginative Jeff Fisher running things.
Well, maybe all the more reason for that. Again, if you have a coach who can't
take
advantage
of that's part of the reasons why I don't think they may take. Because to me, if you have. They have another problem,
too. Politically, you can't use consecutive top 10 picks on a wide receiver. You just can't.
Well, the Detroit Lions did. Now, of course, that didn't work out too well, but they did it.
How's general manager Matt Millen doing these days?
He's offered a fine defense of Joe Paterno on ESPN once.
Why not? Because he Sandusky'd all those drafts for the Lions.
That is unborn. But then again, it doesn't really matter what you do if you're St. Louis. You know why?
Why?
Because you got chief checkdown Sam Bradford, your boy.
We differ on that. I think he
stinks.
I think he can do a good job with the right weapons.
I would rather have Tavon Austin on my team than Sam Bradford any day of the week.
Wow.
And twice on Sunday, which is important because they usually play the games on Sunday.
Wow. Well, I mean, look, Tavon Austin is nothing more than an updated version of Trunk candidate in that offense because you got to get him the ball.
That is offensive and just wrong.
How much impact did he ever have for the team? Fast guy, but getting him the ball
was
a problem.
Tavon Austin had two great games. And I don't know the last time you looked at your NFL schedule. Mm-hmm. He only plays 16.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
he single-handedly annihilated Indianapolis in a game.
There aren't
many players that can do that.
He's an amazing player 1/8 of the time in the league. I'm not quite sure you're building the case you think
he was
there,
a rookie that wasn't used properly and still, in spite of his 1940s coaching staff.
A guy who falls somewhere on the stature scale between Hornswoggle and Ice Cube McNeil. And you're telling me he's a consistent every down player.
If you know how to use him. Do you know who would use Tavon Austin right?
Who?
A nice progressive mind like Chip Kelly. Let's tip your cap. I guarantee you if the Eagles had Tavon Austin, oh, my God, you couldn't stop this guy.
Look,
smart people know how to use Tavon Austin.
I'll admit.
Three yards in a cloud of dust idiots don't know how to use Tavon Austin.
I'll admit, I believed that DeSean Jackson before last year was never going to be an impact player on that level. And, by the way, never will be again now that he's left Philadelphia. Good luck replicating that in Washington. But it's one of these things where it's the exception to the rule. You can't be a guy that gets muscled around in today's NFL and be a guy.
Get him out in space. Look, I agree that there's
a tremendous panacea, but you know, how do you do that? You know, down in and down out.
I don't know. I'm not an offensive coordinator. I don't know, but I imagine that the 30 people who are paid to be an offensive coordinator, some of them should know how to do that.
Evidently, you're saying they should rehire my guy Mike Martz there in St. Louis.
Yes. I mean, he had his faults. I mean, certainly they'd probably
throw him. There was a progressive thinker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if he's progressive. He's a little reckless, I think.
Yeah.
He's a little reckless. Hey, let's throw the ball 60 times. That's a little too much. But.
Well, I mean, maybe his politics were progressive then.
I don't know. But, no, I think St. Louis is going to set the tone for about the next 8 picks after that. You're going to know once. That's why I kind of don't like mock drafts that much. But I'll tell you this. And if we're talking during the draft, which I hope we are, you'll see me jump in. After those top 2 picks, I feel I'll be very comfortable how to call 3 right away.
It all depends because you're right. There always is somebody there in the top 10, usually somewhere in the ballpark of like 5 or 6 where they make a pick. And everyone's like, okay, tear up your mock drafts, everybody. And you're saying it could happen at 2 with St. Louis, and I would agree.
No,
with
I don't
you.
Think it's going to be tear up because St. Louis again. If assuming Houston takes Clowney, St. Louis's pick comes down to 3 players, in my opinion. Greg Robinson, who I've seen mocked a lot, but I've also read is the third of these 3 choices for them, even though he fills a need.
Right,
Khalil Mack,
yeah.
Who they apparently really like, but he doesn't really fill a need.
Okay,
and then Watkins. It's going to be one of those 3 guys they take.
They really like, partially because of the bloodlines with Fisher. They really like Matthews.
They say that, but I heard they don't like taking Right, if I was St. Louis and only Clowney was off the board, I would take Sammy Watkins.
This is the thing, too, about if the Browns were to take Robinson or Matthews. This is a concern that I have.
Okay, I wanted to get to that. Because Jacksonville will take Watkins or Mack.
Yeah, probably.
In my opinion, whoever. Yeah. Well, let's say
And Watkins and Blackman. Ooh, that would be tremendous.
Well, I mean, Justin Blackman may have his issues staying on the field. But
Well, same with Josh Gordon. So Sammy Watkins may have to shoulder
more
of the burden regardless of where he goes.
Sammy Watkins, in addition to being our top draft pick, you also have to beat up every weed dealer in the area. But here's my question for you with the Browns. Let's say the top 3 in some order is Clowney, Mack, and Watkins. Those are the 3 players off the board. Who would you take it for? Would you go quarterback? I would take Greg Robinson.
I think I'd rather have Bortles than Robinson.
I think the Browns' offensive line stinks. They have 2 guys who are very good, but the other 3 are, what do we talk about, below replacement level.
But here's the thing, too, about
you
going
can get
for
the, you can get the quarterback at 26.
About going for tackle instead of guard, though. And this is the whole thing about this, that you may say that this is much ado about nothing, but this is not a point that I've seen anywhere else, and this is something I would worry about with them. When you talk about, you know, the iconic players with the franchise, I mean, Joe Thomas is one of the first guys you look at. He's not too far away. I mean, this is a guy already here pushing the 30s. At a certain point in time, that transition has to happen. Is it 2016, 2017?
Yes.
Joe Thomas goes to right tackle. How's that going to go? How do you, in that moment, say, even when it is the right time, you know, logically.
You tell them you're moving.
That's something that could split a locker room, I'm telling you. Because it's a huge demotion. You've been our franchise left tackle.
It's not going to be right
Hall
away.
Of Fame credentials
How about
for
here?
A decade. But, well,
my
know.
God, let's play some AFC North football with 3 guys, big uglies up front.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think he would. You're saying if the Browns pick Greg Robinson, it would offend Joe Thomas?
No. But I'm saying it sets up a scenario in 3 years that could very well offend Joe Thomas, because there will come a point in time when Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews is so dominant at right tackle that it's clear you have to make that move.
Then Joe Thomas is an idiot and a fool then if he can't accept that.
Yeah.
And so's anyone else who doesn't.
He's got a lot of pride. Top players have a lot of pride.
Well, I mean, you got to know to move over. I mean, if they're winning, then he shouldn't care. And if they're not, then go fishing, pal.
Well, yeah, easy for us to say, but we're not the ones cashing the left tackle paychecks here.
Yes. Who is the team that you think should trade up to address an obvious need?
Yeah, you know, Atlanta's been linked to a lot of different things here. I mean, as horrid as their defense was last year,
I think
Clowney,
that, you know what?
That makes sense.
It does. I think they have too many holes to be trading up Atlanta.
And they might.
I am not as high on Atlanta as maybe you think. And then again, I'm never as high on Atlanta as you
are. Yeah, I don't think you're very high on Atlanta.
But, no, look, they're going to have an obvious bounce back year. And I think, you know, I said on the NFC South podcast that we did to look forward that, you know, I can see 8-8 next year.
Well,
a bounce back. But they stink on both lines. I think they need to stay at 6 and take whatever tackle's left.
Yeah.
And then I've heard some people saying Dee Ford may be available, the guy from Auburn in round 2.
Yeah.
Get him, and then you because they need to address both sides of the line.
Here's the thing, though, and I agree with you on that. I agree that they have a number of holes and that are remaining. But this is we get to the philosophy here of Clowney has been proclaimed, and most people agree with this in terms of the skill set, but a once-in-a-generation edge pass rusher, somewhat akin to the billing that Julius Peppers got when he came out of college. And the thing of it is, if he lives up to the billing, if he is that kind of guy that in any given year can threaten to have 20 or 20-plus sacks, then it becomes a situation where how much better does that make your cornerbacks because of the increased pass rush?
Yes.
How much better does it make the team in terms of the ripple effects on the run defense as well?
Sure.
And everything like that to help the offense by, again,
you're not giving
him
as many points.
I mean,
no, that's true.
He's maybe the biggest ripple effect player in this draft.
That's a good point, and so, I can see that. I don't know if they have the assets. I don't know if people, and again, you know, now they're being linked, now that Houston is being linked to Clowney at number one, people are trying to say, oh, Atlanta may trade up to number one. I don't know if they have the necessary assets to do that. And if Houston traded back to 6,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Bortles, I think, is their guy at quarterback that they would have number one on the board. He may not be there at 6. Teams that are trading back, I don't think Houston or St. Louis trade back because they will run the danger of trading too far back. I could see this, that Houston picks Clowney, and if Bortles is still on the board at 6,
mm-hmm.
Atlanta takes him, and then they trade. You know what the idea? I could see a trade after the fact. I do not see Houston preemptively trading the pick.
Wouldn't that be an irony if teams like Atlanta were struggling to trade up because teams like Houston didn't want to go too far back? Because there have been a lot of scenarios in the past couple of years where teams would have liked to have traded back but couldn't find a dance partner because nobody thought it was worth moving up, giving up assets. Why would we want to move up 6 spots to get this guy? These guys are fairly interchangeable. But to go absolutely full circle on a point you made before that actually slipped my mind until right now, this is something I wanted to address. When you were talking about the notion of mock drafts and, you know, how can you proclaim winners and losers right afterwards, I'll give you an example from when I think it would have been, was this 06, 07, 08, whatever year it was at the station. I don't think this is the year that Jason and I, back at the old Sports Talk Network days, did the 10-hour draft show when the draft was on a Saturday. One of those years is the year Dante Whitner came out. And
you mean Dante.
Yeah, thank you. We ridiculed Marv Levy for that pick, taking him at 8 when everyone else had him going like somewhere in the 20s.
This was 07. I was there.
07. Because you cannot ignore market value. If the rest of the world has the guy in the 20s, you can't take him at 8. You trade back some spots and take him.
I agree that you could do that, but I mean, to it's the problem I have. Here's a real hipster move right here.
Mm-hmm.
With when people, you know, this websites like Pitchfork.com write an album's epitaph 2 days after it's been released.
They
listen to it one time through. Oh, this is our definitive opinion on this album.
But the thing of it is that, you know,
I agree you can say, you know, maybe it was a little too high. But at the end of the day, let's say, and again, maybe that pick still is looked at as too high. But there are guys who, in retrospect, you're like, oh, well, you know, okay, maybe it was a little high, but it certainly worked out.
Well, and this is where I get a reputation for extreme opinions because I've been questioned.
Because you like to embrace debate.
I have very, very strong, stubborn opinions that I stick to. And, again, being asked the question of, well, what if Dante Whitner turned out to be the second coming of Ronnie Lott? Would it still be a reach? Which I say, yes.
Oh,
absolutely,
you're so wrong.
Because you could have the second coming of Ronnie Lott and more draft picks by trading back to even 13 or 14.
Yeah, but when those guys have
still
been
be
anything,
a reach.
Stop it. No, you're wrong.
You can always get
you're
these
wrong.
These assets are precious, Kyle
you're
Ross.
Wrong.
You cannot buck
you're
the market
wrong.
To that degree.
I'll tell you what team is going to trade down. You
Who?
Want to talk about acquiring assets?
Who?
What team should trade down? The Oakland Raiders.
Oh, sure.
Because they stink.
But they won't. Instead, they'll reach for somebody there in classic.
I don't think they will. I think here's a scenario I envision.
They're being linked to Derek Carr at 5, of all things.
Well, and here's what. I think if top four picks go, as I think they will,
mm-hmm.
some order, Clowney, Mack, Robinson, Watkins,
mm-hmm.
Blake Bortles is still out there at five. Minnesota's a team that desperately wants to trade up.
Yep.
They have a clear need at quarterback.
They do.
I think you could see Minnesota and Oakland. Usually you see a lot of non-conference trades mm-hmm. in the opening round. You don't want to help a team that you could be competing mm-hmm. against for a playoff spot. Minnesota and Oakland, I think, you heard it here first, could flip-flop 5-8. Minnesota trade-ups up to get Bortles.
Yeah.
Oakland, they just need a lot of picks. They stink. On paper, for a second straight year, they're the worst team.
Doing a solid for the Vikings. I mean, that's the least that Mark Davis could do. I mean, again, Fred Biletnikoff was using Stick'Em and cheating in Super Bowl XI. So that's the least they could do all these years later, Kyle Ross.
He cares. Here's a team I'm high on, I think.
Who?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
I know that we've talked in the past,
they've
teams,
been active
that, win,
in
teams
free
that win the offseason never win the regular season.
Especially in MLB the last couple of years.
Yes, but I'm really – they're going to dial up College Station, Texas,
mm-hmm.
one way or another for that 7 pick. Either Johnny Manziel or Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is a clear need because they have no number two receiver opposite
right.
Vincent Jackson. But – and I think –
and to get the second coming of Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, but I think that even with Josh Tears of McCown, who is – you know, just, I think, destined to be one of
nice
the better backups in the league.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not but, exactly Hartley, I like Dykes, but
no,
it's not bad.
Stop it. But I think with a returning Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, and a defense that I, you know, will be much better under Lovie Smith,
right.
you can win with that team. Well, Tampa Bay is a team, I don't remember, I certainly said that they would be much better this year than last year, because it's addition by subtraction, get rid of Shiano.
Well,
a team that right now, depending on how this draft goes and what they do at that number 7 pick, that's a team that can win 9 games, maybe 10, threaten to make the playoffs.
Possibly. You remember going into last season, we said it's when we were doing our divisional previews. We had a harder time getting a grasp on them than almost any
they
other team in the NFC.
They were my biggest wild card in the NFC, I said it.
I
said they had the biggest range that they could fall in of any team.
Because we questioned their coaching, as we were right to do, but they have a lot of players already in place.
They were an unlucky team. They started unlucky. Remember that week one?
Right.
It was one of those things.
They lost every close game.
They lost every close game. In week one, it was just that bad tone setter.
Yeah.
You know, remember, who's the linebacker? Levante David?
Yeah.
He did something really stupid.
Yeah.
I think it was a late hit on the quarterback, and it allowed the Jets to get in field goal range, and they won it.
It was the second coming under the Dwayne Rudd helmet.
Yes, that's set a negative tone all year. So Tampa Bay is going to be much improved.
Yeah, they are. And the thing of it is, too, again, Greg Schiano, the poor man's Eric Mangini, to be sure. But I will tell you this. Just because he said it doesn't mean it's untrue. I do believe that Mike Lennon has some upside. I think we are quick to count him out.
He was improving last year. I think, Johnny Manziel would be an interesting pick because I don't think it would really fit a need.
Yeah.
But you know, the only other trade that I'm going to try to guess.
Okay.
Green Bay, and I know it goes against what I said about non-conference trades.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay could move up maybe to number 12. Giants are a team that have some needs,
mm-hmm.
but the way I see most mock drafts working out and the way I kind of see the board falling, they may not have that, okay, we have to pick this guy right now thing, and
right.
I've heard that they might want to trade back.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay really needs a safety,
right.
and if they could jump in front of a division rival, Chicago, who also needs a safety,
right.
I would recommend doing that. Ted Thompson is not a guy who likes to trade up a lot,
mm-hmm.
but this might be a time when to move up, get Clinton Dix, or no, I can't imagine Calvin Pryor would be off the board at number 12 already.
No, I don't think so.
But if Dix is, they may want to move up and take Pryor. So
I do know that our chief draft maven at FDH, our senior editor Jason Jones, has said that merely pronouncing the name Haha Clinton Dix in the vicinity of his wife causes her to go into spastic giggles.
Yes, that is. It is a I think there's going to be a lot of people that don't know his name when he's announced. And people are like, oh, there's going to be a lot of awful jokes.
But
none more so than what Chris Berman will probably say. But
all I can tell you is this: as we start to bring this all the way around, I have already decided what my next big linguistic thing is going to be here out of this draft, and I'm going to use this a lot of times in conversation that after looking through this year's top draft prospects, I settled on this one almost immediately here. I will be using as one of my catchphrases whenever somebody goes to put themselves over a little bit too much for something, ironic for me to say, right?
Yes.
When I catch somebody else doing it, I'm going to be like, hey, not so fast there, Ego Ferguson. That's what I'm going to be using.
Good Lord. Well, there were subjects we didn't even get to on this potpourri.
Well, future things to come here. I know we were going to be talking potentially some wrestling, but we're going to be doing that in a little bit of that would have been great for a potpourri thing anyways, because we got some stuff we need to get to with Mania 30, a little bit of a breakdown.
Yeah.
We actually,
I think we gave people enough. We gave people a year's worth of babble here.
We did. We did. I know there's a lot of people in between football season are like, oh, I wish we could get more of Kyle Ross. You got damn near an hour and a half right here, people. I mean, it's not enough for you. I understand it. I feel you. I love doing the segments with him, but it's a pretty good down payment, Kyle Ross.
Yes.
Very
good. And we'll have to do it again. You know, there is no off season with Kyle Ross.
There is no off season, and like we said before, folks, coming soon, Kyle may be putting his own shingle out there, and I look to be a part of that as well. So we'll be talking about that in the days, months, weeks, years, and decades to come in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.